We have two lyrics today from the same song by Rush. It's not how fast you can go, and it's a test of ultimate will. And this is the Fat Man Chronicles.
I was not hiding. I was unsure. And I was really right there.
Welcome to episode 66 of the Fat Man Chronicles. I am Pete, and sitting across from me is my beautiful wife, Gretchen, and we are a regular couple on the journey with you to health, fitness, weight loss, and a better life. A little bit different for us today.
A little bit.
I mean, we're kind of mid-afternoon.
Yes, we are.
On the day that we're kind of returning.
Yes.
Now, we're just going to take a couple of minutes to do an intro. So you had to like take a lunch break.
Yeah, which doesn't really happen very often.
Right.
But I figure, you know, I was up late last night. I was up early this morning. I think I'm allowed a lunch.
Yeah. So a quick lunch break to do an intro and outro. And the bulk of the episode is me and Rob talking about the race
about
itself.
The race, yeah.
But I figured that since we're not drinking...
I have an iced tea.
Oh, okay. So, but I just wanted to make it clear in case, you know, anybody at work was listening.
We are not drinking.
I mean, watching TV while you work is one thing.
But drinking while watching TV, that's not acceptable. Not acceptable.
That would be getting out of hand.
It would be.
Well, why don't we start with any updates on Views from the Couch?
I mean, have been binging like crazy today, but it's so fresh in my mind. I need to take my notes. So,
all right. So let's
we'll
get
hold off on the Views from the Couch until later.
All right. So we'll get hate mail from Linda.
Right. Right. But no, she'll appreciate it because she told me like she had some corrections from my last Views. Oh. She's like, you need to start taking notes. I don't appreciate this. So
some corrections. Wow.
So I need to be better with my Views and take better notes of what I'm watching, you know. So I think she'll appreciate me not misquoting instead of just, you know, taking my time and giving a proper Views from the Couch update.
So we all know my affinity for podcasts, and I've started listening to the Ron Burgundy podcast.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is hilarious, of course, because Ron Burgundy's funny.
Yeah.
And part of the podcast flow for them, like one of their segments, is at the end they have a fact check.
Oh, so Linda could be our fact check.
She's like our fact check.
She is. But like, actually, she's listening. She's always telling me texts. No, this isn't right. What are you doing?
Well, how about this then? Rob and I recapped the race, but
right.
why don't you tell us what it was like at the Newport News? Okay, so first spoiler alert.
Yes.
I did finish the marathon.
Yes, you did. Yes, okay. You did.
And Rob was with me every step of the way, which was awesome.
Yep.
And you were a great spectator. Huge to see somebody on the course.
I mean, 3 miles, I wanted to say.
You were out there a lot. And then Heather and Connor met up with us eventually. You'll hear Rob and I recap this part a little bit.
Yep.
But what was it like at the One City Marathon in Newport News, Virginia for a spectator?
It was good. It's definitely one that you need a car to go spectate for because it's a point to point, you know, I'm sure as you guys talk about. So to get from one spot to the other, you kind of need the car to get there. Unless you're a fast runner, like a marathoner or something you can run alongside, then what's the point of spectating? Just run the marathon at that point.
To run the marathon. Do not ban it.
So it was good. I mean, the police force and the volunteers out there, you know, helping you direct you, you know, guide you to where like good places to go. The marathon actually gave a nice list of, I mean, I'm not joking. I think it was like 7 spots. I think there were 8 on there, but one, it was like too close together. So I skipped it. But there were like 8 spots that they gave you that they felt were good places to go spectate. And they, you know, they kind of made it seem like it would be good, like easy to get in and out of. And All of them were, except for the very first one. So the first one, you know, at mile, it was mile 3.5, but actually you could see at like mile 1.8 or whatever, and 3.5. So you got to see both spots because you guys kind of did this loop. You had to actually cross the road where they're running the marathon to get to the parking spot that they talked about. And I wasn't thinking when I was trying to get there, and I was like, well, I can't go there. There must be another way. So I drove around for like 30 minutes trying to find a way into this school's parking lot. And it was just finally, I'm like, all right, this is impossible. So I just kind of sweet talked my way across the road. And luckily the marathon hadn't gotten there yet. So I'm like, I just want to go there. I'm like, I just want to go right there. Can I just please? And they're like, oh yeah, sure. No problem. I'm like, okay, I could have done this 30 minutes ago and would have been just fine, but that's fine. So, but it was good. I mean, everyone was really nice, and, you know, driving through, you know, it was pretty easy to get to places. And, you know, luckily when it came to getting to you at the finish line, you know, there's plenty of parking. There's lots of parking right there. So we didn't have to, I was more concerned about you having to walk super far. But they had a lot of parking options, like, really close to the finish line. So it was good. It was good. But it was cold. It was cold. I had my views from the couch shirt on, and I had this vision that, you know, I wouldn't need my jacket. Like, I thought, like, oh, it's going to be upper 40s. Yeah, that would be fine. Well, there was no sun. So, yes, it was upper 40s, but there was no sun, and there was a ton of wind. I mean, it was really windy out there. So I was kind of wishing I had my scarf and my sweatshirt and multiple layers waiting out there. But, you know, I had my timing down. So basically got to each place, waited in my car until you were like 2 minutes out. And then I ran outside, cheered you on, and ran back again. So
it's funny, too, because Rob and I have a much different take on the weather. So you'll get to hear about that.
I'm sure. When you listen, so. I'm sure. But it was cold.
It's awesome.
So but it was good. It was a good city. It was a good time. And, you know, I was glad I was able to go and cheer you and see you at multiple places, because originally I didn't think we weren't going to rent a car. So
right.
I would have basically saw you at the finish line. So I'm glad I was able to.
And probably been more worried throughout.
Yes, I would have been. It was good to see you at each place, because I could kind of look at your face and, you know, gauge how well you were doing and if I needed to be concerned. So
sure. Well, I really appreciate you being there and doing all that. It was great. I mean, it's always great to have somebody on the course cheering mm-hmm. for you, but to have it that many times and then yeah. have somebody every step of the way, and then Heather and Connor. Yep. And I mean, it was really a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So great, great race.
Yes.
All right. Well, you'll hear the big race recap with myself and Rob. That's yep. like we said, the bulk, but we had to throw out one more piece. Last episode, we talked briefly about a weight loss challenge.
Yes.
We've had some movement since then. And we're going to be ready to launch here.
Yeah.
Hopefully the invites will go out tomorrow.
Awesome.
To everybody. So I'll get this out on Wednesday mm-hmm. and hopefully on Thursday, everybody can start to join in. So the big piece of it though is, I talked with John and a little bit with Rob about this too. So we're inviting the Endurance for Everyone group. So yeah. it's an FMC Team E for E
crossover event,
the weight loss challenge. So we're going to do it 120 days. So that's March 12th through July 10th. That's 120 days.
Yep.
And there's basically no rules around this. It's pretty open, but the goal is that we collectively just find ways to encourage each other, mm-hmm. hold each other accountable. So I will get like a Google Doc, you know, that, like right. if you want to put your name and your weight and your goals, fine.
Yep.
If you don't, that's fine too. Not everybody wants to tell everybody their weight. If you want to talk about like what you're doing, that's fine.
Right.
The one rule is you can't tell somebody how whatever they're doing is wrong.
No.
That's
no.
like
we are positive only. Right.
So like I'll give an example. If somebody wants to try to do this by going plant-based or vegan, I'm going to encourage them. I have zero interest in becoming a vegan myself.
No.
Right. If somebody wants to do Weight Watchers.
Right.
Fantastic.
Awesome.
Right?
Whatever works for you.
Exactly. You want to do NSNG, which is what we'll do.
Yes.
Great. You know, but if you can share notes with like-minded people.
Right.
You know, even, you know, get in like little discussions like off air, if you will.
Right.
You yeah. know, like outside of the group even. But everybody will be there to encourage each other. And maybe you'll think of, well, maybe I'll try intermittent fasting.
Right,
just
exactly.
Just to see if that
it'll
works
work.
For me,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
So that's like the one rule. And you're inviting to come in, invite friends. Like, they don't have to be listeners.
No.
It'd be great if you turned them into listeners of Endurance for Everyone and Fat Man Chronicles, but not a requirement.
Not a requirement.
A little torturous, maybe, to have to listen to me. But the point being that it is 120 days, so there's enough time to get into habits.
Right,
and that's what this is really about. This is just a launch, and maybe we'll have an ongoing group after this.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe this challenge will be something that we want to carry forward and have it be more a part of people's lives, you know? So we'll see how it goes, but everybody that is in each of the groups, you know, you'll be invited, and then just
it's up
start,
to you if you want
to. Yeah, up to you to join and how much you want to share. But my guess is the more you share, the more that you're open, the more you're going to get out of it.
For sure.
And I've got big weight loss goals in these 120
same here.
Days. And I'm probably going to put a big number out there. And it's not so much about hitting that number than moving in the right direction towards it.
Right.
And getting a giant chunk out.
Yeah.
Because July 10th, that's like right before we leave on a cruise.
Yeah, 1 month later we go on a cruise. So we need to have our habits down.
Not 1 month, 1 week.
Oh, July 10th. Oh, yeah. Oh, you're right. That is like right before we leave.
Right.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we need to have our habits down. I need to be in summer weather.
Right. And then we're back, and then I'm running a 50K.
Yep.
So.
And then I got my 10K somewhere really close there.
Right.
So if I have to lose my weight, it will just make that 10K that much easier.
It will. It will make every step easier. So that's coming up. So I'm really excited about this, trying to get some more involvement and really, you know, just encouraging people to move towards what they want. And even if you don't have to lose a bunch of weight,
right,
you may want to join just to have accountability towards maybe eating a little bit better or losing 2 pounds.
Yeah,
you know,
it doesn't matter.
For some people, 2 pounds is enough.
Yep.
For others of us, we might need 40 or 80 or 100.
Right.
You never know.
Exactly. It doesn't matter.
I'm going to suggest, though, not a weight loss goal of 100 pounds in the 120 days.
Yeah, no, that would be a little...
That would be aggressive.
That would be a little aggressive.
But I will encourage you to lose some.
Yes. Some fraction of that, perhaps.
And, you know, we're going to keep it upbeat, positive, but we will give some tough love. Like, you've got to have self-honesty in this one. So I don't know if I'm going to do the picture thing that I talked about or if I'm going to log.
Right.
Like, but the fact is, you can't say, well, geez, I did everything right, except I did these two things wrong, right? I doubt that that's going to be true unless you've got some other thing happening.
Yep.
You know, there are other reasons that you can't lose weight.
Yep.
So John, I think, is going to talk about that. I haven't gotten a chance to listen to his latest episode yet, but I think he starts to get into it a little bit because he has thyroid issue, right?
So, for sure.
There's other reasons. But anyway... Yes. That's what we're going to do.
Sounds good. Can't wait.
We're going to put it out there. And I think really we're just going to jump into the recap Rob and I did.
Sounds good.
Awesome. Okay, it's race recap time. So I've got on the line with me my running partner and fellow podcaster, Rob Bozovich. How are you, Rob?
Very good. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing all right. I think I'm back to like 70, 75%. So that's not bad a few days after your first marathon, I feel.
70, 75% out of 80 is pretty good.
Yeah, right? I'm never really more than 80, so. But yeah, I wanted to, as promised, we're going to walk through our time on that course. And I promised that we would get our money's worth and have plenty of time to chat, and that we did. So without further ado, I think we should jump right into it.
Sounds good. Well, it's your show. You lead the way.
All right. Sounds good. So leading up to the day of the marathon, I traveled in via plane. Gretchen and I grabbed an early morning flight and had a layover in Atlanta and then got to Newport News, their little airport there, just before noon, grabbed our car, headed over to the expo. And at that point, I think you guys were pretty close driving, right, from your home in Pennsylvania, getting pretty close to Newport News at that point.
Yes and no. So I was a day prior to you, and the long and the short is we try to do any of our driving to time when the little guy might sleep or nap in the car. So it was going to be easier for us to – so we actually left Thursday, and we drove until he got like kind of fussy in the car, and it put us from mid-Pennsylvania down around Winchester, Virginia. Spent the night there, and then plans slightly changed and evolved. And the coming down with you was going to work out great because my wife has a friend that lives outside of Virginia Beach, which is just south of Newport News, and a friend in D.C. So we originally were planning to pick up the friend in D.C. and go see the one in Virginia Beach, but the one in D.C. ended up not her kid ended up getting sick, so she didn't come down. But as we, so that's why we changed our plan, drove to Winchester. The next day we were going to go to Newport News, pick up the packet, which would have been Friday, and then spend all day Saturday at our friend's house, which is actually Sedley, Virginia. So what we ended up doing was we were going to then come up to Newport News to maybe hang out on Saturday and do packet pickup late Saturday if you were unable to pick up my packet. So we just drove straight to Sedley, Virginia, and then we didn't see Newport News until, just about an hour before we saw you guys. We came in and, we came up and did that museum I talked about, which we'll get back to. So, no, we weren't close to nearing in. You actually made it to Newport before us because our plans changed.
Got it. Yeah. And so, yeah, I went to packet pickup. It was an easy process. I picked up mine, picked up yours. The expo was very local focus. So, which makes sense. It's a smaller marathon, although it's a decent size event for the community, especially. We didn't get to see how many half marathoners there were, but there was quite a few booths to pick up half marathons versus just two to pick up marathon packets. And when we were standing around there, and I haven't looked at the total number of finishers, I guess I looked, I just didn't memorize it, but my guess is it was somewhere between 300 and 350 probably.
I haven't looked, so I'll take your word for it unless you want me to quietly type that up.
Yeah, I mean, you can, sure. It's good to have somebody with the Google while we do this. So,
right.
It was a nice little expo, but very local focused on business, right? So, your air and water purifiers, your hospital, a dentist, a State Farm agent, that kind of stuff. So we didn't stick there long. We basically got our packet, grabbed the shirts, walked around for a couple of minutes, and then just headed over to the hotel. Because I was going to do just a couple of mile shakeout run. And after kind of getting around there, we saw that, well, it's probably best just to do this on a treadmill. I didn't really see a good place to run, and I didn't want to risk anything. So I jumped on the treadmill for a couple of miles. And I think at that point, you guys were probably on your way, I think, to the museum. What was it called? Virginia Living Museum or something like that?
Yes, which you very sarcastically later, not this is a spoiler, said. I said, yeah, it was like this animal and that animal and this animal, and they're all in pens. And you're like, hence the living.
that's true. I guess they just use it as a different name for some sort, like a politically correct name for a zoo or aquarium or something.
It was a little bit of everything. First answer, it looks like 374 people finished the marathon.
Okay.
Last finisher's name was Gregory Woodland.
Congratulations, Greg, on finishing your marathon.
There you go. Yeah, 704. So we were ahead of him by a little bit. Like you said, it must be a PC term for almost like mini zoo because they had just a little bit of everything. I think they were making the most – I don't want to call it a micro zoo or a pocket park or any term like that. But they had the outside they had a deer pen. They had a fox. They had a wolf pen, but I didn't see one in it. They had some birds. They did have, some like a little tiny aviary, which is some like – it wasn't anything really exotic. It was mostly, geese and stuff like that. They had, I think, an otter, and they did have some, they had turtles. They had some snakes, just a little bit of everything, which was great for the ages that our kids were at, just to – they only pay attention about – what, 12 seconds, and then on to something else.
Yeah, no, that sounds perfect.
Yes.
So then Gretchen and I went to an early dinner at a steakhouse out there, and it was really good. It was exactly what I typically eat the night before. I did look longingly at the nice glass of Justin Cabernet that she got to have with her prime rib, but I did not partake in any of that. Just kind of my normal pre-race routine. The night before any long run or a race, I typically have a steak and some sort of a little bit of a potato and a salad. And that's exactly what I did. So it was very good, though. The food, I have to say, at the few places that we went, overall, were really good. I guess we did grab a quick lunch that wasn't our favorite in between. But for the most part, the food was really good in Newport News. So we enjoyed that. And then we just kind of headed back to the hotel. We saw you guys, you know, for a few minutes.
You went shopping because you brought me some supplies. That was very nice of you. Thank
oh, right.
Again.
Yes, I did stop because we needed some extra coffee for the morning. And you guys needed a little bit of milk for Connor. And, well, we grabbed some half and half so that we had that for the coffee. And, yeah, so we saw you guys, and it was nice to see Heather and Connor. And I knew I was going to have plenty of time with you, but good to see you too.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went and kind of just got everything ready, pinned the bib to the shirt, and just made sure I had all my supplies, kind of made up my drinks for the race and got them in the fridge and went, you know, stuck the earplugs in and went to bed. I mean, I think we were in bed. I think I was in bed by about 8:30, 8:45, like minutes after leaving, seeing you. It didn't take that long to get ready. 9 o'clock, I was probably really close to being asleep at that point because I knew I was going to need to get up early to do kind of my pre-race routine and feel good to head out there. And so my plan was to get up around 3:45 in the morning. The race started at 7. We were going to leave the hotel around 6:10, we had decided. Gretchen was going to drive us over there, so I was going to get up then, and I ended up naturally waking up around 3 and just kind of laid there for another half hour and got up pretty naturally at 3:30, so I was fairly well rested. How was your night before?
You know, I'm going to say this could be the tale of two racers, and that is, you know, Goofus and Gallant or however that kid's thing is, you know, you are the guy that does it all right, and I'm the guy who bucks the trend and does it all wrong. But no, it really wasn't that bad. So we went to go to dinner, excuse me, and whenever we went out, I forget where we went to go, but I even walked out and I said, man, Pete would be so mad because it was like 5 o'clock, but there was a wait. It was an hour wait, and we can't do that with toddlers. So we bounced around one or two places and ended up at, you know, Buffalo Wild Wings, which, you know, I started with a salad, which was fine. And, you know, maybe I could have went without like their buffalo sauce, went dry, whatever. But I put it on there. But then, you know, it's kind of like, oh, I'm going to have a little bit. So we ordered some boneless wings. There were some nachos, which I'm not real big into eating lots of that stuff. But I did have enough that it caused a little bit of issue the next morning for me. I went to bed a little bit later than you, not much. I think it was 9:15. We were laying down and going to sleep, so that wasn't too bad. But I didn't, and then my plan to get up was much different than yours because whenever you and I were texting, you had, or I don't know if you texted or called, or I called you and you had said you're setting your alarm, and I thought you said for 5:30, and I jokingly said, oh, 3:30, and you're like, yeah, and I'm like, no, I was joking. And you're like, huh? And I'm like, you really getting up at 3:30? And you're like, yeah. I'm like, oh my God. Because like that, my plan, and it wasn't slightly different, but also because I had Connor in the room and trying not to wake Heather or Connor, I set my alarm, sidebar. We end up with a king bed, and what we did is put Connor in there with Heather, and there was what they called a sleeper sofa, but it was almost like a day bed. So I ended up sleeping over there, separate from them, so if I got up and moved, I wouldn't wake them. And then what I said before, pre-race, I took the coffee pot and actually took it into the bathroom and put it on the counter. And then the night before, I'd put all my clothing in there. So basically, I got up at 5:10 and went into the bathroom. So when I say I was in the bathroom for an hour, it was just in isolation. I wasn't, you know, in there necessarily.
because I was in the Buffalo Wild Wings.
That's it. But I was in the bathroom for the hour. So I got to do the things I needed to do, grabbed a quick shower. I had two or three cups of coffee and then met you downstairs. Like you said, 6:10 I was at 6 o'clock. I was down in the lobby and 6:10 we got in the car and headed out to the race.
Yeah. And I was down in the lobby about 4 o'clock, kind of sipping on coffee and just kind of getting prepared, reading and just trying to take my mind off things. And 4:15 rolls around and I just see people sprinting from the elevators to the front door because there was only a couple of shuttles. And the reason that Gretchen, we had a car and Gretchen drove us is because there was a little bit of a change this year at that marathon. When I first decided to do it, we thought we'd be at a different hotel and that there were shuttles from the hotel to the start line. And that's the way it was for the first 4 years of this race. This year they changed it because they added the half marathon. They actually took shuttles from the hotels that, and we had to switch hotels even to just be in one of these, but the hotels that were affiliated with the race, and then they went to the finish line. And then from the finish line, you got another shuttle that drove to the start. So, you know, you were
as
kind
part of this. When I was asking you what hotel, and then you had told me, and then you switched, because originally I was going to drive up from our friend's house, which is only an hour away. And part of what, like, literally, you and I talked, I think, 5 minutes on the phone, and it went from me calling you to say, hey, Pete, I'm driving up. Why don't I swing by the hotel, pick you up, and then we'll go to, you know, we'll park the car at the finish, catch the shuttle to the beginning, and then you and I are on the computer, and we realized, oh, where I was maybe going to leave the car at the hotel, we were going to catch the shuttle to the finish, which is how they did it, and then to the start. And that added an hour or more of commuting by the time you caught the shuttle, went down. So in order to be at the race start at 6, we have to be catching the shuttles at 5. And that meant for me, I would have had to get up at the time you were planning, almost like 3 a.m. to drive up from my friend's house. So that's how our plans slightly shifted, that we got the hotel room and then you and Gretchen were getting the car and all that. So luckily we were able to make those plans and do that far enough in advance and didn't have to do that day of. That would have been not so fun.
Yeah. I think that that's something that they're going to have to adjust. It's a point to point race right now, the way that they have it, with 4 different starting lines for the 4 different races, including the nautical mile, which is just small. And I think mostly aimed at younger, you know, youngish kids. But in the end, I think what they would have been better off doing would be to start the race for the half marathon and the marathon in the same place and have shuttles just go to there more directly and then kind of run a partial loop kind of out and then circle back and everybody kind of finishes the same direction. And I get a little bit of why they're not doing some of that, because they don't want to block major streets both ways. But anyway, my advice would be to find some way to redo that, because I did hear a little grumbling about kind of just how long it took to get from a hotel to the start line for such a small, you know, kind of race. It really could be adjusted, I think. And hopefully they'll think about that and how to do it. But I digress.
And not jumping in to sound negative on it, because I do really think it was a great race overall, and it's something they could consider. I don't know when the half started and or the 8K or whatever else the other lengths were.
All
they
at the
could
same
always,
time.
What they could have done is just, you know, like you said, taken people from the hotel, because we were only 12 minutes or less, 12 miles, I'm sorry, from the start from that hotel, which was kind of made sense. They could have just shuttled us to there, and then, you know, it would have been just, if they had a more laid out schedule, they could have taken us. And but then it's somebody comes up to the bus and it's, hey, where are you going? We're going to the marathon start. Well, I need half marathon. Well, those don't run for another half hour. They could just start that race 20 minutes or even, you know, 10 minutes after us, and then and use the same shuttles and they'd be fine.
Sure. So, I mean, all kinds of different ways to fix it, but they definitely need to, I think, work on that. But overall, it was a great race. So anyway, so we get to the start. We leave the with no problems whatsoever, hit the restroom, head to the start corral, if you want to say. I mean, with 370 something of us.
When you say restroom, it's important. They started it in a, I don't want to say a state park or wherever, or a local park, but it was a very nice area.
Yep.
And they did have porta-johns at near the start. But we actually, where Gretchen dropped us off, was right near a ranger station, and we went over and actually went into a real restroom at first, which was nice.
Well, and that came in handy minutes later, as we'll see.
We'll get there.
So we kind of get into the corrals, or as we're walking over to it, I tell you that, hey, I think it's important that you know I haven't really been talking about this because I didn't want any excuses. I didn't want advice. I didn't really want to have it kind of in the realm of what anything that I was doing, you know, I just didn't want it to come up. But my back has been bothering me for a little over 2 weeks leading up to the race. And my lower back, so I know it's my hip flexors and my piriformis and, you know, kind of that whole hip area is really, really important to runners. And glutes, also very important. And when those get weakened or get overused and start to tighten up and you haven't stretched enough, well, you get some lower back issues at times. Unfortunately for me, those lower back issues really kind of came to a head on, well, right the day before and then on race day. So we're heading over there, and I just wanted you to be aware of it because I was going to do this race and I was going to finish it. But if I had to end up walking a little bit more than I had wanted to, I wanted you to be kind of aware heading in kind of what was going on.
And regardless of what was going on, I was sticking with you the entire time. So I hope it came off like, okay, cool, we'll work with it, you know.
Oh, absolutely. So. Yeah. I mean, and you know, I didn't want to talk about it or complain about it too much. I think I did, you know, later in the race, which, well, you know, we'll talk about a little bit. But I can tell you, though, and not to sound like, oh, you know, he overcame this pain or whatever. Look, people overcome way more than this little bit of back pain that I was experiencing. But unfortunately for me, it did hurt from step one. I mean, every step of the race was met with pain. And I didn't want to limp. You know, I really tried to concentrate on my form from the get-go in order to try to preserve the best I could what I could do. And I think, you know, we were okay. I mean, it started out nice, except for one part, which was immediately I headed to the ranger station to use the restroom as soon as the gun went off, basically. So that was an interesting part because it was probably, I don't know, a total of maybe just under a quarter mile kind of out of our way. And
if that, yeah. But what I find, digressing, but make some sense. One of the things I always do, is anytime if I'm running with somebody or even in a car, whatever, if somebody else goes to the bathroom, I go to the bathroom. So that way I'm not the guy that would hold us up later. So, you know, you and I, we go running and everybody's turning right. I mean, we're only 150 yards into the race and everybody's turning right.
Yeah.
And you and I are like running straight, meaning off course. And all the rangers and everyone like, no. Like, well, no, we need the restrooms.
Right. And the one guy, the one cop says, oh, we close those. And I'm like, no. And he's like, no, I'm just kidding. So, so because of that though, what's interesting about this part is now we are dead last, or as they say, DFL. To start
the race. I think technically
we
were past dead last because once we came back out, we actually had to run past the cops and the ambulance and the sweep vehicle because they actually had to stop them for us because
right.
they kind of had passed because they didn't realize we were in the restroom.
Yeah. So we are just in front of the sweep vehicle to start the race, which isn't unnerving at all in your first marathon. So, the nice part is we kind of settled into a rhythm pretty quickly, and I don't know, like those first couple of miles to me flew by. I felt like we got into an okay rhythm and we were chatting away and talking and, you know, I had my Morton drink mix on my chest. I didn't put a bladder in the back for water. I think you had your typical pre-race routine. You do UCAN. Right?
Yes.
So you have a bar and then you've got some UCAN drink mix, which you explained to us in the last episode that we did on the Endurance for Everyone podcast feed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we kind of just settled in. And those first couple of miles, we came up to a water station, and unbelievably, I had to use a port-a-john again. So, you know, we hit that one right away and some water. So we're still...
I think I saw somebody from somebody else's post a recap. I believe they said that they were every 2 miles, which I think later they might have missed one. But either way, so I'm assuming that was 2 miles into the race because
Somewhere right around 2 miles in. So we kind of hit that restroom and grabbed some water and just kept running. But at this point in time, you know, other than the back issue, like other than that, I felt great. Which I have to also say, if you've been marathon training for 16 weeks and you don't feel great in the first couple of miles,
something went wrong.
Something went wrong somewhere. You're either just having a bad day or something went wrong with the training. So we settled in, and I think I used the first, I don't want to say, maybe two or three port-a-johns on top of everything else.
Yes, and I could say that, and I'm not trying to jump out of order, but I know it must have been the third one, and I don't know, or yeah. It was either third or fourth, because I think it was between mile 6 and 8 where we'd seen your wife several times, but at that point is where you were running, and I wasn't with you because I was in the port-a-john longer than you. We'll just say it that way. thanks, Buffalo Wild Wings. unless they're sponsoring this episode for you, and then thanks, Buffalo Wild Wings. But either way, yeah. And then you told Gretchen that I left you, and she said some coarse words. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. She said, "Well, that makes sense. I would have left you long ago." So but we did, yeah. So I think I hit like the 2 mile. There was something like right around 5 miles, and then right around 7.5. And that's basically the time frame. And at that point, I'm tired of hitting port-a-johns. And I think one of the pieces of that is like, I just took in too much. Like I was so worried about hydration that the week leading in and the night before and the morning of, like, I had a lot of water. So I wasn't overhydrated, but I definitely was not properly hydrated because that was just an awful lot of restroom stops for me. So,
and fortunately, and I'm going to say they weren't killing our time because we happened to be catching them. We didn't have to wait.
Right.
And there's usually two at each one. So it was right in, right out.
Yep.
So it was just the length of the pit stop, not actually waiting for them.
Exactly. And I think that we're settled into a pretty good rhythm here of between like 11:45 miles to 12, just over 12 minute miles, maybe 12:15 miles, and feeling good. So I think it was the chatting, you know, like the fact that we were just able to keep talking and, you know, neither one of us is want for words and plenty of subjects to go through and felt good. So the first kind of 8 miles, the course is flat, and I mean, I think the total elevation for the entire race was probably, I don't know, 250 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I think it's net downhill. So it was a really flat course and just easy to get into a running rhythm that felt like you just were kind of clicking away the miles.
Yes.
And
I agree with that.
I honestly don't remember any issues. And the only thing that we stopped for other than the restroom were we saw a sign that said something about slow runners.
Yeah.
So we stopped and took a picture with that, which I'll post in the show notes and with the episode. You know, we'll put up that picture. It was great. It was kind of fun and funny, and you got to have those moments. And, you know, the first half of the race to me was a breeze overall. I felt good. I felt like I was taking in the nutrition at a good rate. And I really didn't have any issues. And I don't know if I shared this with you yet or not, Rob, but at that point, I didn't realize it, but looking back now and looking at Strava and other things, that was the third fastest half marathon that I've ever done.
No, you hadn't said that. Good job.
Yeah. So within, you know, my first marathon, I did my third fastest half marathon. So coming into kind of my comeback into running last year and the year before, but heading into 2018, my PR for the half was like 2 hours, 42 minutes. And I ran, you know, we ran this one in 2:38 and change. So, right around that 2:38, 2:40. So not bad. Overall, I felt really good. Honestly, at this point, I had visions of like, oh, I think we could do this. And, you know, I started thinking about time, which I shouldn't have done. But I did start thinking about time. And I was kind of like optimistic that I could do a fairly similar split and slow down just a little bit for the second half of the race. And it was
you were
not
thinking better at most points of this. I don't know. Maybe I was just zoned out and just whatever. Because it took what about 4 or 5 miles in. Finally, I said something like, "Man, I don't know if I'm just not seeing them, but I don't see the course markers." And you pointed up because they were permanent signs. I was looking on the ground for. I didn't realize that they had the big like road signs, like 2 foot by 3 foot signs, permanently mounted. So once I knew what I was looking for, that was better. And right around the half, that one lady was asking about where are we or what time, because we were just talking about it, and I did the math backwards, like I forget, because however she said it, and my response would have, it sounded negative but was meant to be positive, because if you said what 2:40, and then like I did the math and she said something like, oh, maybe we can get 5 and a half. I'm like, oh, there's a lot of course left, meaning like she could pick it up, because I thought we were like a few minutes behind, but we were like 20 minutes ahead at that point. And I realized that I said to you, like, oh, now I sound like a jerk because I did math backwards, but you know, that happens in a marathon.
It does. Running math is hard. Yeah. Math is hard. Running math is really hard. So, yeah. And for me at this point in time, like we had passed some people and, you know, there's relays. So you're getting passed, which is a little bit disheartening, I have to say.
With the exception of, I think it might have been between miles, I'm going to say 2 and 4, where we saw that little kid running the relay.
Oh,
that was awesome.
That, yeah. I mean, she was really young. I'm not sure what the age was, but very young and running the relay, and that was great. Love seeing that. I love the fact that people are out there, period. So when I say discouraging, I mean...
Oh yeah,
it's just discouraging when you think you're in a rhythm and by. Yeah, they're just zipping on by, but they're running, you know, an 8 mile segment versus 26.2. So, they have the energy, I guess, at that point to pass you. So this is the part where, you know, about 14, not long after, we hit the halfway mark, that I start to feel a little bit more of a twinge in my back than I had. And a couple of miles later, right around mile 16 or so, I'm really feeling it. And I'm like, oh, this isn't good. But I talked about it a little bit, but not a ton, and still felt like, okay, I can probably kind of work through this. And I should say that we were doing 3:30:30 intervals. So 3 minutes, 30 seconds of running, 30 seconds of walking. And we did that pretty religiously through about 18 or so.
That was going to be my guess. Yeah, that sounds about right.
And then it was around 18, 19 that there was a very, very slight bump in the road, like uphill. And I say that in air quotes, uphill. But it was enough that there was an incline, which there was just not a lot of those on the course. And I stepped wrong, and that you did notice, because I kind of pulled up lame and said, oop, I'm going to need a minute. And from there, my gait, I felt, was off. Like, I didn't feel like I was running smoothly from there on out. And when we got to 20, I was hurting. And I said to you, look, I'm going to probably need to walk a little bit more in this last 10K. And I mean, to your credit, you were super encouraging and great about it. But
see, I was trying, but what I didn't know is, it's like whenever my wife is upset, no matter what I do, like I might as well just sit there and say, cheer up, cheer up, cheer up, cheer up, because all it's going to do is make her more mad. And that's why, like, whenever you were starting to go down your little rabbit hole, I didn't quite know, we're friends and friendly, but I'm not like your best friend in the world to know exactly what it's going to take to get Pete out of it. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, to your defense, look, and Gretchen would tell you this, I just need time to work through things in my head. And I always come out of it. It just, nobody can really say the right thing. And it's not you or anybody else. It's just the way that I am. But those next, I want to say 4 to 5 miles were excruciating for me. And I had said to you something about, well, I'm going to need to tweak my nutrition because I'm feeling a little bit nauseous. That wasn't exactly true. I was nauseous because my back hurt so bad that I wanted to cry. Like, it was some of the worst back pain that I've felt in my life. And the next day, you know, to fast forward, I could, my walking was extremely difficult for me for any length of time, more than a few steps at a time. So that tweak to my back, that misstep, where it just kind of, I don't know, like the way I landed probably just kind of jammed the right leg, because it was the right lower back, just kind of jammed the right leg in just the wrong way to cause me pain. So I was nauseous from pain. And at that point, it was just a lot of walking for the next, you know, for the last 10K. And it was a little bit disheartening for me. And I kind of went down into a bad place. And really thinking more about, like, geez, I thought I was going to have this, like, kind of great first marathon, like, meaning, like, time-wise and crushing it and for me. And I just, all of a sudden, it just kind of all dawned on me. Like, you do all this training, and then you have, like, kind of this nagging thing, and you're kind of getting through it, and then you take one step, and it's difficult from there on out. Little metaphor for life, I think, in there. And I just couldn't get out of my head. It took me a good, I want to say 4.5-5 miles to finally just go, what is wrong with me? I'm okay with this. Like, I'm going to finish this thing, and I'm going to finish it under 6 hours. Even if I walk the rest of the way, I could crawl the rest of the way and be under 6 hours. And I'm still able to do a little bit of running. And I made sure that I kind of preserved it for that last mile, so I felt good finishing up the race. And I do have to say, I really appreciate, you know, your efforts on trying to help me get out of that bad spot, and for being patient with me, because this is something that I don't like about myself. And it's only magnified when you're one-on-one with somebody in the middle of 26.2 miles, right?
Mm-hmm.
And towards the end of that. And I don't have a lot to say about the kind of middle of the course, because I mean, up until that moment, that misstep, it really was a pretty smooth race and pretty uneventful. I mean, the best thing that I could say is, like, the volunteers were great. They had to close a lot of streets. There was a lot of cops and volunteers, and, you know, the course setup itself was pretty good. I think they missed a water stop somewhere. But other than that, like, I thought that the course itself and all the things, the moving parts, they did a great job on. And because of that, we were running well. The race was set up well. There's not a lot to talk about.
Right. It's funny to say, and I agree with you, and that's my couple of summaries, condensed summary of the summary, is people ask me, how's the race? How's this? How's that? And I said, you know, I said, good, not great. And I said, it's not anything that it's just one of those, it was very well laid out. They had a ton of, I'm going to just say, infrastructure and volunteer laid out for this. The course could have easily handled an additional, I'm going to say, 2 or 3 times the amount of runners that were there. I mean, and again, now I know, let's just round it up to 400. They could have done 1,200, 1,400, you know, or easily. And I hope that they eventually grow it to that size. And like I said, the only thing that might have been missing, like I said, there was one stretch where there was a long stretch, when I say between water stops, but I'm going to say official water stops. There was a ton of people on the course that were out, just out of their house, and they had bottles of water in little tables. Additionally, there were two – I saw two. There may have been more as well, that I'd never seen this before, and it said water refill stations. So if you or I – like if you had the bladder in your pack, you weren't wearing it, but they had like a hose stretched out, and almost like a, I'm going to say a football – arena or a football team, you would see this. Then they had like six little hoses off it. So you could literally run up, grab a little hose, squeeze the, you know, the sprayer, and it would, you know, give you water. So if I had an empty bottle or you had an empty bottle, we could have filled up at multiple other points, at least two that I saw. But what we were looking for was the actual water table, somebody handing it to you. And I think there was just a little bit of a stretch. And it didn't help out that it was in that bad mental time for you that we hit the spot where we really could have used one extra water stop.
Yeah.
Other than that, like you say, it was so well done that it was uneventful. It was just, you know, you're just running. You know, it's a flat course. It's very well policed, meaning no traffic. I mean, they'd shut down when I say two lanes of a four-lane road, you'd have R2 lanes, divider, two lanes on the other side. Like, clearly, it's a one-way each direction. Our entire side is shut down. It's not like it was one lane or the shoulder. There was no traffic whatsoever. It was a very safe, easy course to run.
Yeah, and there's not a lot of – because it's point-to-point, there is some kind of residential, a lot of residential, actually. And there were some people definitely outside cheering on, but not a ton. So if you're the type that needs a ton of crowd support, this is probably not your – not correct. Your race.
Yep.
The people who were out there, super encouraging, super friendly. Everybody was super nice. I can tell you that I do know some people who just like bigger races because they need that crowd and they want that crowd and to get swept up in it. This isn't it. And it, depending on your pace, almost any pace though, with only 375-ish people doing the race, you're going to be alone for long stretches of time. So
yes,
for me, it was a big deal to have you out there because of my back, I probably would have started more walking earlier had you not been with me, because it just kind of took my mind off it. I had somebody there. We were able to just kind of talk our way through most things, and it was great. And I don't normally run with somebody. I'm normally alone when I run. So for me, it was a treat, too, to have an in-real-life running partner. So I would definitely say it's a race that if you're okay running either alone or if you and a friend want to do it, you don't need a ton of crowd support. You want it to be flat. And the temperature is probably going to always be pretty close to the right. I mean, we didn't talk about that, I guess, but the temperature was ideal. It
ended up being perfect. And that, you know, you got the luxury of packing, I'm going to say, a couple of days later than I did.
Yep.
So it was, you know, I was packing my bag Wednesday, and at that point it was still too far out and the weather forecast had changed two or three times. It fluctuated from, you know, 20 to 45. And from, you know, rain to sun to rain. So really didn't, you know, I literally had three, and Karen will laugh at this, three or four complete outfits. But because what I would wear at 30 degrees is different than what I wear at 30 degrees in rain, it's different than 30 degrees and wind.
Right.
And so, you know, and I had to every contingency plan, but I think the temperature at race time was 40, I'm going to say slightly overcast. The sun did peek through, but it wasn't blazing down on us. And with the exception of the last, what, 2 or 3 miles where we were nearing the shipyard, which was very windy, it was ideal. There was no wind. I mean, we didn't hit wind on that course until the end.
Yeah, there was a little bit in between, but it was so brief for where we were, you know, kind of running through, that it didn't really impact us. But I want to say the temperature was probably 40, 41. It may have gotten up to 46, 47. It did stay overcast for the most part the entire time. There was a little bit of sun here or there, but for the most part, it was overcast. And like you said, that headwind, and that was the problem. I mean, we were running kind of the one slight uphill portion of the course and into the wind wasn't great. And it was a strong wind. I want to say it was 15 to 20 miles an hour probably. And so that got pretty chilly, especially since we were doing a little bit more walking at that point. And it was that way all the way through the finish. That's not anything you can do anything about. It was just kind of a off the water breeze. And it's going to happen. But overall, the temperature couldn't have been much better. If you can run a marathon and slightly over in overcast 45 degree weather, you're doing pretty well. So I just had a base layer on, shorts. That was it. Well, you know, a base layer, a shirt, but I didn't wear pants, you know, any kind of running pants over the shorts, because that's, well, from where we're from, this is like balmy at this point in the year.
Yeah, right.
We're really acclimated. 45 feels warm. So yeah, that was good. And so that last 10K was a struggle for sure. We were able to kind of run it in, and seeing, you know, Gretchen and Heather and Connor saw us at several points on the course. And I got to say, to me, it was just awesome to see Connor run up to you each time. That was awesome. I mean, it's so great.
I thought so as well. I you know, didn't know if you thought so, but
oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it made me miss my three kids. You know, at that point, I didn't want them to be there for the first one because I just didn't know how it would go. And it is a long day. I think that they probably got out there when we were about halfway through. I wasn't sure.
Gretchen was at all the time. I think it was definitely after mile 8. Yes, that because Connor had slept in, and then the first time we saw them being, you know, Heather, Connor, Heather's friend had yet to join, and then Heather's friend and her daughter were there for the rest of the race as well too. So
yeah, it was great. I mean, I think that Gretchen probably saw us, I don't know, 6 times or so, I want to say, on that course. So renting the car was the right thing to do, because in a point-to-point race, the only way she was going to see us more than the start and finish would be renting a car for us. Like, you guys drove down, but you needed a vehicle in order to do this. So that's the other piece of it, too. If you've got people that want to spectate and cheer you on, you'll need a vehicle in a point-to-point course. So there's that. So yeah, heading into the finish, I got excited finally and pretty emotional, of course. I think I kept it in check pretty well until I got in the car. So, you know, we headed up towards the line and they announced our names, yours incorrectly, Rob Bozovich.
It happens.
Yeah, I'm surprised they got mine right. normally that gets butchered too, but they got that right. So we ran through and got to see everybody that was cheering us on in that home stretch. And Gretchen took a video that got some good reaction for us. The funniest part of that whole thing is, like, we of course look like we're running very slowly, which we are at that point because of my ginger back. But you look like you're trying to go slow. Like, the way that you've got your arms and cadence moving, it's like you just want to take off for the finish line. It's like it looks like you're trying to slow down. Both of us with big smiles and ready to.
It wasn't intentional. I'm sorry.
No, it was. No, it was
being out there.
It was funny, but yeah, it was. But both of us have big smiles and, you know, heading towards the finish line, and we both crossed, and, you know, the chip time was 5 hours 40 minutes 3 seconds. So I'm gonna take that. First marathon, that was great. I mean, definitely. Took a lot away from it, not the least of which is running with somebody is fantastic. Having you there in particular was great, and I had a lot of fun. I mean, other than that, like, little 4.5 mile stretch where it was just a lot of pain, I really enjoyed it, and it didn't take long to think about, okay, what's next. So it only took me a day or two to think about that. So how did you feel about how the rest of it went?
Very good. I mean, I think you hit every high point that we could have there, and any of the lows that needed covered. I had a blast being out there and doing it. Just jumping off on a tangent of the next 2-3 days, and that is, you know, where we're at now. I was definitely more sore. And it's funny because I kept asking you, like, I'm much more sore than I'm anticipating being. Hold on 1 second, there's an ambulance or something going by. I don't know if you can hear that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, just shut off. I guess the emergency's over. But no, so I was as sore as I was. I've had trouble on steps for the last 2 days. And I wanted to make sure that you were feeling okay, especially with your back, you know, all that going on. But yeah, I had a great time. I thought it was a great race. It seemed like there was a really awesome finishers festival there. And I don't know if you were just ready to be out of there, but I had to go. And because I wasn't spending the night like you were. So we, you know, and checkout was supposed to be at noon. They gave us until one. And I think it was, you know, 12:45 when we came across the finish line. So it was kind of like, or 12:30. So it was kind of like scoot straight to the car and jump in and get back. And actually when I went up to our room, they said, no problem, go up. But the keys were already deactivated. I had to go back down to the front desk. That's when you saw me again, just to be able to get into our room. Quick shower, had a lunch, and then the joke later that I sent to Gretchen, because she was waiting at a Dairy Queen, was one of the visiting or spectating spots, and I had said to her, get me a blizzard. And then on the way home, we did end up hitting a lot of snow that took our, you know, what should have been like a 5.5 hour drive to almost 9 hours or so. I think we got in around just before midnight or so. So it was we left at like 3. So it was a lengthy drive to get home that night. And but yeah, so then we had some driving the next day or two. So I was in the car way too much than I should have been. I did not get out and get moving or get stretching. And I think that would have been very beneficial to do. So,
yeah.
And you had another day there. I don't know what you ended up doing. You were taking note of all the historical sites along the way. I thought you were going to go back out and see them, which I, to this point, don't know if you did or not.
No, I couldn't. I was in a lot of pain. I could not walk enough. To go out and do that. I really tried. I tried to stretch it out. I tried to take some, you know, Advil. I really wanted to go, but it would have been excruciating. So I ended up kind of doing a lot of laying around and just trying to stretch things out in the hotel. Gretchen had to work, unfortunately, but, you know, that worked out okay because I couldn't really do much. And, but I was okay to go to dinner the night of the race. We went to a different restaurant, and then we went back to that same steakhouse the following night. So it was very, very good. I like oysters, and it was oyster season, so, you know, got some of those. And the overall on my back, I mean, I know what the problem is, and, you know, it's loosened up over the last couple of days, and I'm okay to walk now. I'm probably going to go for a walk here soon. And if I was told, like, hey, you need to get a run in, I could do it slowly, but I could do it. I have a routine that Coach Andy has posted before and called Hips of Death that I will start doing because I've got to strengthen these hip flexors and the piriformis and, you know, the IT band and glutes. It all needs to be strengthened and stretched. And that's the number one thing I took out of this training cycle, and especially the race, because of how I felt. Functional fitness is really important. Yes, you've got to get the miles in, but you've got to take care of all the other pieces and parts that go to propelling you to get those miles. And when you don't, when you neglect them, you pay for it. And I don't want to be in this position again. The next time when I'm on pace to have a 520 marathon, I want to be able to, you know, get a 520 marathon. I don't want to have to slow down by 20 minutes in the second half because of the fact that my back hurts so bad. Walking even is a problem. So
you're saying next time, because there were parts of the race where there was not ever going to be a next time, Pete. So you're coming around?
I don't know about a marathon, but I know that there is trails and ultras in my future. So, you know, I'm already signed up for one, the Badger Trail 50K, the Stuart Tunnel 50K, coming up in first weekend of August, put on by 10 Junk Miles. And I know I'm doing that. So either way, I've got to have that functional fitness. And look, in life, you need this too, right? So it's not just running. You know, you and I talked a lot about all the other things that I'd like to do and accomplish and things that you'd like to do and accomplish. And, you know, we are adventurous, I think, by nature. And because of that, you've got to take care of all the pieces of your body. And, you know, there's just going to be more strength and more functional fitness for me at this point. And I won't forget it because it's too darn important. So, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. But overall, my legs recovered fairly well, and today my legs feel pretty darn good. I said overall I'm 70%. If I had to say, I'd say my legs are probably at 85-90%, and, you know, my back's at you know, 60-65%. So, and mentally, I'm much better off than I was at some points in that race. But after it was done, I felt great. I mean, you know, the finisher medal was nice, and it was great to get our, you know, get a quick snapshot afterwards. And I really felt good about the whole thing, like reflecting on it and overcoming the little bit of adversity that I had was awesome. You know, you got to have some story, or this could have been a 2-minute recap, because the course,
yeah,
and
how was it
stuff was
good,
you know. Done. Yeah, it went well. You know, but in 26 miles, I can't imagine there's ever a 26 mile race where you're like, yeah, every step was perfect. If that exists, I'd really like to find it. But I don't know if that unicorn is out there.
One day, and many, many, many miles down the road, you know, you'll eventually find it. But the thing is, you never realize it until it's done, and then you're like, oh, okay.
Right.
You don't get to enjoy it in the minute, because as soon as you start enjoying it, that's when things can happen.
Exactly.
Like stepping on a sword grate the wrong way.
All right. Well, we've been talking for a little while here. Anything else you want to add before we wrap it up?
No, I don't think. I mean, I was coming on to recap. It was your race. I'm glad that you did much more talking than I did. I had a heck of a great time. Was honored that you let me, you know, come along for the run. And, you know, I hope I did help you with it and didn't detract in any way.
No,
so
it was great.
When you're there, you're trying to better the experience for somebody, and I hope I did.
No, it was great. And I think I even said something to you about me, you know, wanting to pay it forward. I definitely want to go out there and do some races with people. To help them get to a finish line. I think it's important, and I think it'll be a lot of fun, and I think it'll make my overall running experience better. So I can't thank you enough, and I know that Gretchen was grateful that there was somebody out there with me too, somebody that could put up with me for that long. You've got to be a pretty good guy there.
You don't have to thank me at all. It was a lot of fun, and I'm glad that she didn't make me walk to the start, and so it all worked out.
It did. So excellent. Well, we'll post this up and cross promote it over on the Endurance for Everyone feed also. And now that we have this kind of cross functional weight loss challenge coming up on March 12th, we'll kind of see how our groups kind of come together and hopefully lose some weight too.
That's it. Being lighter definitely will make you faster.
That is a fact.
I don't think anybody disputes that one.
Nope. All right. Well, thanks again, Rob, and we'll wrap it up here. And I can't thank you enough for running that first marathon with me, and something I'll never forget.
Not a problem. Congratulations, sir.
Thanks. All right. We're back, and Gretchen hasn't gotten a chance to listen yet, but it was a lot of fun doing the race with Rob, and I really appreciate him. I mean, that poor guy having to put up with me having kind of going to the dark place, and you know, you'll hear he says something about like, oh, I just didn't know what to say. And I'm like, there's nothing, nothing anybody could say.
True friendship right there.
Yeah. Well, but luckily it was a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
You know, only a few miles. So yeah. There's that. And it was a lot of fun.
Awesome.
So I look forward to doing more races with people.
Yeah. Look at you.
Yeah. How about that? All right, well, let's wrap this one up. You've been listening to episode 66 of the Fat Man Chronicles. The music is You Got Me Wrong by Safar. Our website is fatmanchronicles.com. You can read blogs and listen to the podcast and other stuff. Oh, yeah, you can get some swag.
Swag it up.
Swag it up. If you are a subscriber, thank you. If you're not yet, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on your favorite podcast app. Give us a rating and review, please, over on Apple Podcasts. And we always like to thank our patrons, Amy, John, Christine, Linda, Rob, Julie. We really, really appreciate it. Without you, this is much, much tougher. So that's it. Look for the invite to the weight loss challenge and get out there and be better today.
Not hiding, I was unsure, and I was really